Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
On the inside, your host, Minister Lewis. Good morning to each and every one of you. I'm glad to be here in the studio this morning. I'm looking outside of my studio windows here. It's kind of cold out, so I encourage each and one of you to dress warmly. And we're located here in Dallas, Texas. We realize that this program goes around the world. It may be sunny where you are. It may be raining. It just may be some inclement weather. But wherever you are, I can rest assured that God is present there. So, you know, the Son of God, so it's sunny. It's sunny. God's Son shines all the time, okay? So thank you for supporting this program. We'll start off late this morning because of situations beyond our control. We had a problem at the main studio. The network was down for a little while. And I wasn't going to run the show this morning, and I got a call from my co-host and a couple of listeners that said, come on, brother, come on, we're waiting, and we want to hear what's going on in the ministry. So I said, okay, then, I'm going to come on there. And so I want to thank them for encouraging me to keep on, because, you know, I always challenge people, keep on, keep on, keep on. You know, you could do it, and that's someone encouraging me. So you know what? For iron sharpened iron. So I want to thank you for encouraging me, Brother Daniel. I want to thank you for encouraging me, my dear brother that's out there, man. So thank you very much for, you know, just pushing me, you know. And I pray that I'm pushing you to do the right thing, you know, for Christ Jesus. I just want to say hello to our ministry team. We're going down to the Senior Citizens Living Facility today, Shady Grove and Granny Place Ministry. We're going down there. And to be encouragement to the residents there. I was looking at my phone here. I'm getting a couple of text messages that say, "Are you on? Are you on?" Yes, we're on. We're on it, and we're live. And so, please dial into that number. That dial-in number is 310-982-4126. You two can call into this show and voice your opinions and tell us your comments regarding some of the topics that we will be discussing. Because of the rescheduling, I'm unable to bring my guests on at the appropriate time, and so you stuck with me. And so we're going to make the most of it. What we like to do is just continue to share what we do in the ministry. Today is a very lengthy day for myself and our ministry team. We're going over to the juvenile facilities here in Dallas, Texas. We'll be going over there by 12 o'clock today, and we'll be going over there sharing with our young men what does says the Lord. We'll have a Thanksgiving a message for our young men, a reason to be thankful as we look around this world and society today. Sometimes we feel like that we have no reason to be thankful, but as you look into the Word of God, and it tells us that we have a reason to be thankful. And so that's what we want to encourage the young and old to be. For this is the day that the Lord had made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So we'll be over at the Juvenile Center today from 12 to 2. And so we'll encourage those young men. And then from 4 to 5, we'll be at the Adult Senior Citizen Living Facility, also located in Dallas, in the southern part of Dallas, at the Fair Park. We'll be over there from 4 to 5, and we're taking a group of young people over there. They're going to sing for our senior citizen, and we got some silent praise dancing that's going to be performed, and we also have a couple of testimonies from young and old that's going to share with our senior citizens. Let them know that God hadn't forgot about them, to let them know that they are still valuable, to let them know that their services was well worth the effort. And so I encourage you, if you have an opportunity to share with someone, to please make note of it and do the best that you can, amen, in that endeavor. And so we have someone on the line here now. I think that's just a caller here. We have Brother Daniel that's going to be calling up here in a few minutes to voice his opinion on the program. Amen. But until we get that, we'd like to raise. You know, I was looking at some of our past archive shows. I'd like to share some of that, some of those programs with you, because they truly bless me. And I pray that it's been a blessing to you. And if it's something that you have heard before, just stay tuned. Maybe you missed something in the recap of these programs. You said, I'd like to be a part of that right there. And also, I have been asked to speak over at a friend of mine's church tomorrow, so I ask you to pray for me. I thank God for this opportunity. And so we'll go over there and do the best we can and let God get the glory. So continue to lift me up in prayer. Also, and we've been very busy in the ministry. And I say we, I'm saying as a ministry team, because I don't do anything apart from God and other men and women alike, man. So, I thank God for the ministry team that goes down to the jails and the juvenile centers with me. And we encourage the residents down there to be strong in the Lord. But last week, over at the Cottrell House, we had a great time over there. You know, I shared with you last week that we was going to go over there and we were going to have a Thanksgiving luncheon. And so that event went over very well. The young men was encouraged. The menu was great. And the activities was outstanding. So I just like to thank all the volunteers over at my school, the Abundant Spiritual Life Ministry, and they teacher, pastor, and the dean of that school, Reverend Avery, and his wife, for hosting that program through the school. And so it was great. One way the program was set up, that we had a young man that came in, Stephon Johnson. He's a former NBA basketball player. Now he's coaching at one of Dallas colleges here in the Metroplex. And he came over and he had shared with the young man about the riches and fame, that it wasn't all what it's cracked up to be. And as you see these athletes with all this money and this fame and notoriety, on the backside of that, that's loneliness and heartaches and disappointments until they get themselves together. Because as a young man out of college and you've been showered with all these gifts and all this money, and then now all of a sudden you find yourself being able to do whatever you want to do and almost say whatever you want to say because you have no one that's holding you accountable. And he was sharing with the young man that they need to have someone that they're accountable to, and that's a great thing to hear, because sometimes as we go through life, we start thinking that we're a self-made person. Sometimes we start thinking that, hey, I could do all of this on my own. And Stephon was saying, no, you don't need those things. You need to have someone that you're accountable to, a relative, a pastor, or someone that's walking beside you in whatever chosen career that you endeavor to do, that you need to have someone there that you can kind of gleam off of, and they can gleam off. Because he said it works both ways. And so he shared with our young men, and then we had a gospel rap artist over there, a good friend of mine, OG with OG Ministries. And said, now he came over there and he performed several gospel rap tunes, and the young men and the whole dinner hall was excited about it. And we had the young men and their families over there. And so it was a blessing to be able to minister to them and their families at such a time as this, to encourage their family members that they did not do anything wrong. Sometimes we feel like that we let our kids down. Sometimes we feel like it's because of us that things happen to them. And I share with the family members and the young men about a portion of the scripture about it in the book of John, the 9th chapter, when Jesus was asked this question, why was this man blind? Was it something he done, or was it something his family member done? And Jesus told him no. And I shared with them, a lot of times we wrestling with situations. Yes, we may have had a part in it, but we had choices. We had choices. And sometimes we make the seem to be easy choices, or we make choices that's concerning ourselves. But regardless of what choice we make, God can straighten those things out if we turn it over to him. Now, we had to have a willing mind to be able to turn it over to him. And so so we want to be mindful of that right there. But also we was sharing with our young people about a future, their chosen career, the path that they choose, you know. Because as you go through life here, you say, well, I'll figure out something later. And you have to realize that later may be right now. You may not have another chance. You know, time is moving so rapidly that we need to take hold to the moment. They say seize the time, redeem the time that we live in right today. And so we was encouraging our young men to start thinking about their plans after they get out of the that juvenile center, which was a halfway home. Those young men was getting out eventually, and they was some of them was working, some of them would go to college and school, and so they had been able to get out, and so we wanted them to make good use of that time. We played some games over there, the young men. First, they were kind of reluctant to play, but after they got all warmed up and I'm talking about the games, you know, got to flowing, and everyone seen that it was fun. So we had young men say, hey, give us more. You know, I said, man, I'm giving you what I got here. They said, give us more. And I liked that, too, because, the young people was on fire. And everyone had received a Bible that was in that setting there, because we have a Bible ministry that we donate Bibles to who all that need Bibles. And so we were able to bless the young men at that center, the Cottrell House, and their families with Bibles. And everyone was blessed, and we shared with them about scriptures in the Bible, asked them to make notations of that. So when in doing a quiet time or doing a prayer time or doing a time of trouble, that they may look in that Bible and they could pinpoint some scriptures that someone shared with them that hopefully get them words of encouragement. Amen. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second and give out that call-in number. That number is 310-982-4126. And we're going to play some one of our archive shows. See, I'm looking at it right now to see exactly what show would be good for such a time as this. And last week we played one with Mr. Gibson doing the food pantry. And so that was a pretty great show there. I enjoyed Mr. Gibson. Matter of fact, Mr. Gibson is doing a toy drive. Not a toy drive, but a Toys for Tots, where he accepts an application for needed families. So if you know anyone that's in need of assistance for Christmas, please give me a call. You can call me on this number here, my personal number. You can always call me. That number be 214-505-6526. And I get you in touch with Mr. Gibson. I have several applications that I can assist you with, assist you on filling them out. And we can just go on with that program. Because we don't want any of our kids to be left out. You know, our program is titled Free on the Inside, and our theme is saying help change your life. We never know what token of love that we can share with someone that will help change their life. Last week I was doing a street ministry. I do street ministry with Raul now over at the Breath of Life Ministry. And so that's located in South Dallas. And after the event, I was cleaning up, assisting cleaning up. And then I was taking the trash out, and this young lady that was homeless, she stopped me and said, hey, let me look at some of that trash. Let me look at those boxes that you're taking out. And I said, what? She said, yeah, because this is something I'm going to use as a bedding tonight. I'm going to sleep on these boxes. And I'm thinking about that young lady right there as I look out the window. And the wind is blowing and the temperature is a little uncomfortable. Someone spent the night out there. Someone don't have a place to lay their head at. And I was thinking, I said, wow, man. We can't help everybody, but we ought to be guilty of trying to help someone. And, and that help don't necessarily come in monetary gain or nothing. Sometimes that help is just a smile, a hello, or just a conversation. Because sometimes people will just want someone to talk to, someone that they can share their burdens with. They don't necessarily want you to give them the answer. Guess what? Because they already know the answer. You don't have to tell a drug head he's a drug head. You don't have to tell a liar they're a liar. You know what I'm saying? You know, some people already know what they need to do, but they just need someone to just, someone as a listening ear. And so maybe you could be that person. Our phone line is lighting up here, so thank you for calling in. We see people are saying that they just want to listen to the program, so thank you very much. and we have our co-host who just called in. We're going to bring him in a few minutes. And we got our pre-recorded show queued up, so we'll be going on with that. We're having a show today with Next Generation with Mr. Derek Alexander based on all the stuff that's going on. He's a community activist, and he's going to share with us some things concerning the community. This is a pre-recorded show, but he's going to give you some information that you could use. But before we bring him on, we're going to bring on Mr. Daniels, and he's going to share with us some things that are dear to his heart. So thank you for listening in. Thank you for being patient as we logged on a little late today. But it's worth the effort. So continue to listen to this program and continue to make use of the information which you will receive on this program and any of the programs on Free on the Inside. Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Reverend Lewis, how
good
morning, you doing
Mr.
today?
Daniel.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I can hardly hear you. Can you speak up?
Yeah, how you doing today, Deacon Lewis?
I'm doing good. Welcome to the program. We start off a little late this morning, but that's okay. Thank you for encouraging me, man. I wasn't going to run the program today, but you said, brother, you got to do it. And I said, wow, man. And that's just confirmation.
Yeah, you got to do it, man. When God give you a task, you got to do it, man, no matter how hard and how soft. You got to still do it, man. So,
great.
Man, we're going on today, man, with it. You know, everything's all right.
You still there, Brother Daniel?
Yeah, you know, I got disconnected. We all having a little, you know, light, you know, problems in the world today, and then a whole lot of stuff done happened last week. You know, a lot of people got bombed last week, and they got a lot of terrorist threats and stuff all the way up. But see, you know, God's still behind everything. He's there behind everything. But, you know, all this was happening, it's still got to be coming through God, and God's still going to judge them for what they're doing. You know?
And that is so true.
And you can't have fear in your heart. You can't be fearful. You can't be scared or whatever, you know? One thing I learned a couple of months ago, man, and God, he doesn't give you the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. And what kind of world will be going on if everybody around here be jumping around, jumping and looking scary, scary, scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. How are you going to serve the Lord and be scared, Deacon Lewis?
When
you go out and see those people on the street, how are you going to be if you go out? I'm scared of looking at it. I'm scared of being around. I'm scared. Man, how are you going to be scared and fearful and doing this walk with Christ?
That is so true.
I don't know why I'm going that way.
No, that's okay because this day and time, man, and that's what the terrorists try to do. You know, the scriptures say he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, and he's just trying to intimidate people, man. And so that's
but
something,
you know,
that we have.
Even their little thing, their little religion, they don't fear nothing. You know, this guy, man,
yeah,
won't take their own lives, man. You know, they got to be kind of out of there. They don't have no kind of conscience, don't have no inside. But anybody that really deep inside believes in anything, and you will put up your life for it, your belief in what you're doing really has to be strong.
And you know, you know, when we were younger, that was the coward way out. When you want to kill yourself, you don't want to face the consequences. You don't want to make you do not want to attempt to make a change. You know, you just say, "I'm going to just end it right now, and come what may." You know, to me, that's a very terrible way to go out because I want to see the results of what I'm doing, Ricky. I just like you.
Really,
if you do it anything,
really,
don't you want to see what the end result is? These people are checking out before they see what the end result is.
Most psychiatrists and things like that mostly give reports that say that most people that average people that commit suicide. Now that's one thing. Topic really was I'm on today about suicide. Well, most people that kill themselves basically it's a guilt complex that they're trying to put on other people. Or make people around them or people they be dealing with make them feel guilty or wanted or make them be noticed or make them feel remorse about something that they didn't do for them. So basically, the enemy gets in their mind, he tells them to kill themselves. And so in order to you get this recognition that you're trying to get.
And you probably right though, because I know several people that, and we all have known people that time enough, they feel so guilty because a loved one passed. They say, I could have done something. I should have done more. And you get, and you spend a better part of your life saying, if I could have done more. So that, I think you're hitting on something there.
Yeah. And basically, a couple of days ago, I was reading the newspaper. Well, they said off in Austin, Texas, man, they got a plight of the homeless down there. And really, this survey was done in December 2011. It's called Homelessness, a Silent Killer. And this is Austin, Texas. You know, Austin is down there about all the senators and the governor and all these big wig people down there and living high off the hog and everything. But deep inside and around them are people that basically living on the street, nowhere to stay, nothing to eat. And they're losing hope. And they're killing themselves. And it says the average death of a homeless person is 47 years old, and even lower for homeless women, just as 43, compared to 77 for the general population. Drug and alcohol abuse are particularly common cause of death amongst the homeless population, accounting for just over one-third of all the deaths. Homelessness people are over 9 times more likely to commit suicide than the general population. And that's some staggering facts.
Oh, that's powerful.
That's some staggering facts deaths are a result of traffic accidents are 3 times as likely, infections twice as likely, and falls. Even they have a tendency to fall over and hurt themselves are 3 times as likely. And being homeless is incredibly difficult, both physical and mentally, and has significant impacts on people's health and well-being. Ultimately, homelessness kills people, you know. It kills you, you know, just being on the street every day, man. It's a real tough thing to go through, man. You know, when we go see people, man, like we go down to the homeless shelter, man, you basically say that you are blessed, you know. And pray every night before you go to bed, or either whenever you leave the place that you go to, that blessed God, you have not put this upon me. But if you had put it before me, you took me out of it. You brought me out of it. Understand,
yeah.
Rem Lewis?
Yeah,
know, some
I understand.
People don't get, some people don't get out of it. They stay in the cycle. And the longer the cycle goes on, the more the statistical rates double.
And you know, Brother Daniel, I lived like that for like 3 or so odd years. And now when I share with people and I share with them, they say, man, I've been this way 20 years, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows my mind, man. And like you're saying, it goes on and on before you know it. It's in a cycle that they can't get out of because they become a way of life. They become accustomed
mm-hmm.
to living and eating and sleeping like they are, man. And it breaks your heart because, you know, there's a way out, but you have to humble yourself and get some help.
Yeah. And say mental health should be considered to be both a cause and a consequence of homelessness. It's a result of being homeless.
Yeah.
And mental health problems often lead to homelessness. People can become unable to cope with day-to-day lives and sustain their tendencies. Homelessness, in turn, is an isolating, lonely experience which erodes confidence and self-esteem, which can cause an exacerbated mental health concern. That means, basically, their mental capacities are basically getting wasted away because, you know, your body has a tendency to, they call it flight or fight. You know what I'm saying? If you really get stuck in this raw atmosphere every day, basically you basically wearing your body out. That's why you see so many of them, man. They look. Man, how old you, man? Well, about tall. You look old.
Yeah.
They get gray, man.
Yeah, it's because they're not getting the right nutrients for their body. They're not
right
taking care of themselves hygiene-wise. So it wears on you, brother. You know what? You're saying some stuff there that is so true, and you're really hitting the mark there. Because as we see this homelessness, and sometimes, Ricky, we can see this situation and these people so often, so many times, that we become numb to those things. What are a survey tell you about us as a society, how we tend to, dismiss these type of people and this type of lifestyle?
Well, basically, it seems that the people mostly turn a deaf ear to them. They basically overlook. They're both, it's like a silent people. They're like the mostly, I got a new thing going on, and I got a movie that I'm writing. And my topic of my movie, I call it The Silent People. Invisible people.
Okay.
The invisible
that's good.
People. The invisible people inside the city that no one sees, no one cares about. And basically, nobody really wants to help them till somebody pushes on them, or till sometime an election year comes up, and then everybody comes out the closet and start getting on the platform, saying what they're gonna do and help these people and help them do whatever. And then the next 4 more years, they disappear and take away a little help away from them. They give them and make all kinds of new laws and rules that say that you can't feed them no more, and if you feed them, you're going to get fined. Whatever, it's just that it seems like they're just invisible people.
Yeah.
They're invisible people.
Yeah, and that is so true. And, Rick, as I drive around Dallas and they're doing all the new construction, and they got all these new overpass and all this road work that they're doing, and a lot of the homeless people are being gravitated to that type of structure. They living up under the bridges, they living up under the lofts of the freeways. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen someone perched up under the in the corner of the freeway there? They like pigeons.
Well, back in most about 10 years ago, I think there was a big village of them down there, man, all around them, and somebody, tore a lot of them down. But lately they've been rebuilding a lot of them. But once it was like a whole big neighborhood full of them, man. Everybody had their little individual hideout spot, a living quarters, made out of cardboard. And basically, the mayor got mad at what he did. He made some kind of audience that told them they had to tear down this because it defaced the look of the city.
I remember that. It was right there off of the freeway. Though. Everyone could see it. As you passing through town, you had this little tent city that was set. And now they have another one that's down there near Austin Street Shelter that's nestled away where people can't see it. And they have a whole tent community down there. And we go down there occasionally on Fridays and assist with them. I go down as often as possible. But my deal is, Ricky, not only assisting with clothes and food, but also telling them about programs and ministry that can help them. Because, you can feed a man each day, but if you teach him how to feed himself, he'll eat for days and weeks and years to come, Brother, we're down here, I'm helping you, but have you considered this? Or have you thought about this? Or do you need help, with information, You'll call this number. Call up the Life Foundation. Talk to Mr. Booker. Talk to Estella, Have you considered, getting out of this cold weather? You need to go to a doctor. We know people that do health assessment for the homeless and indigent. So, and a lot of them, like you said, mental health, a lot of them have health issues, man. Blood pressure, joint. That's because of the environment and the conditions that they're living in.
Yeah.
And a lot of them only go to the doctor after a tragic accident. You know, they done been beat up with bugs,
and they got a picture in the newspaper where they got this guy that's, you know, he's sitting by this grave on this person he used to know, and they got an unmarked grave, but he made his own homemade tombstone to go on top of his friend's grave. And most of the time they came for a headstone, man. And then mostly they really came for getting buried half the time, you know. Sometimes when they find bodies, man, they have to send them to the morgue down there, man. And then basically the city basically most of them sometimes have to take care of them unless their family had some kind of insurance policy on them, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got a place that they don't talk about. It's a pauper graveyard where the indigent and the homeless people, they get buried at, man.
Mm-hmm.
People don't make mention of it, but they have places set aside for people that don't have any type of burial insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They would have a place for them. Either that or they cremate. You know, cremate is something that people are not comfortable with, but, you know, so they try to bury them in a humane way. I knew people that had to be buried in a place like that, and I didn't know that none existed, you know. But they do have places like that. They call them pauper or poor grave site.
Yeah.
You know,
pauper,
so.
That's what pauper, that's a person that when he dies, he doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
That's like a guy I used to admire when he was a musician, man, Mozart. Remember Mozart?
Yeah, I remember him.
When Mozart died, the next day they buried him in a grave, and nobody never basically can't even find him, man. He died broke.
Yeah, I remember that. Didn't have a headstone or nothing. They still don't know where he was buried.
Didn't have a headstone or nothing, man. And boy, that's kind of real erratic today. It's like today, some of these musicians today, the same way, man. They dying, man. They don't die the next day, they don't have a dime. You know, it's a cycle, too, and that, too, you know. Mm-hmm.
And that's what last week when I went over to the Cottrell High, we tried to talk to our young men about a future and managing their money and things that go along with just having a successful life. And Rick, and we all made mistakes, but once you're restored, you can tell someone, hey, man, I done made these mistakes, but you don't have to make the same mistakes I did. One thing I wish that I would have stayed on a job long enough to retire, man, you know, but no, I'm changing job. But I learned my lesson. A lot of us, we learn our lessons, and we have to just keep going with what we're going with. But now we're into, you know, the twilight of our years, of midlife, and then a lot of times you no longer have to work on a regular job, or you can work as you like to. Because when we were younger, we didn't invest in, because we didn't know, man. Because, you know, right when we grew up, people didn't talk about investing. They didn't talk about saving. You know, we just kind of worked.
Yeah, but, you know, now, you know, everybody's trying to figure out how you can have something for later years, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't save today, man, it'd be real
and
bad
you couldn't trust
next
people.
Day.
You know, you couldn't trust these stockbrokers. They get all your money, then when it's time you to, you know, get your money, they done ran out.
Yeah, ran out of town.
Yeah,
they run out of town. Then mostly the banks was closing down a lot. Roughly around about 15 years ago, I remember when a lot of these banks and stuff, they changing names every other month. And, you know, God, what bank is this today? Well, Wells Fargo brought them out. Well, where did they come from? Where did they go? You know, why? That's just part of the business deal. Of them selling things to one person to another in order to, you know, save face, and keep from losing out. And, you know, what I'm saying is, I'm going to ask you a question, Reverend Lewis. You know, you really, I don't want to put you on the spot by asking you a question about this. You know, and I know in the following month, you know, the president is talking about he's going to send a lot of people from Syria and stuff over him. And, I know the Bible most used to tell us that people that wanted to support Israel, because that was God's chosen people, you know, chosen, you know, country, you know. And, you know, you bring a lot of people from one spot to another, basically you don't know what they're capable of doing. You don't know what the alternative motives. You don't know whether they might be a plant. You might, some people in here might be put in here to do these certain duties, and he's all for, you know, us basically turning our country over to somebody and getting, this. We don't know what's up. It's be like a grab bag every day, you know.
Yeah.
And he's getting mad at the government because basically they won't do what he wanna say. You know, and they won't address him because he's saying that these people are mostly widows and orphans, and the people that he's dealing with, they're harmful. You know.
Right.
So what is your vision of a view of this opinion right here?
You know, Ricky, I'm glad you asked me that, because that is a very delicate situation there, because you don't want to turn no one away, but you have to be mindful that all people don't have good intentions. You know, I do ministry. We do street ministry. I'm saying we as a group of people that everyone, and we know, realize that everybody ain't coming for the food. Everybody ain't coming for the gospel. You know, people have alternative motives. And so what you do, you try to the best of your ability to screen those out and assist those to wherever you are. But you got to be wise, and you got to be as harmless as a dove, but as wise as a serpent. You know, these people that's coming in, some of them are coming in with good intentions, but it's always that one or two that just ain't going to do it. Just like the Cuban crisis that they had many years ago, you know, when they brought in the refugees from Cuba. Remember that? Some time ago, that's how that movie Scarface got started, with all the guys coming from Cuba, you know, because a lot of guys are fleeing because they have a criminal background. They, you know, they're getting kicked out of their country, getting ran out, so they want to come over here and do the same thing that they was done. Some of these things you can't avoid, but you want to try to put stopgap measures in place to kind of catch them before it ever happens. Let's face it. You could be in a group of 10 people at an event, but all 10 people ain't there for that event. Some people just come along just to hang out and see what they can do. And you can kind of tell the ones that have good intentions and the ones that don't.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we as a society, we would have to monitor that. And that goes back to being our brother's keeper. You know, we don't want to deny anyone their legal rights, because we as black people, we have been denied our rights. But we also want to be wise.
Yeah, you got to make wise decisions, man, because, you know, basically, you know, when we deal with the Mexican-American problems, it's a problem basically we can't really control right in our own borders, you know, and it's getting every day. We're getting influx of 15 or 30 or 40 people over here. Once they're in the country, and once they have kids, the kids are natural American citizens once they're born here. You can't send the people home and leave the kids over here. So basically, you have to address with it. If you're going to, you know, I see it like this too. When America was founded, it was like a melting pot of many people, many religions, and many people came over here, and they was really searching for freedom of how to serve God. And basically, that's what it was about, because they were getting tortured and abused over in these other countries, and they wanted to come over. But basically, they can come over and do and serve the way they wanted to serve.
Yeah,
you know.
And Rick, and if you look at history, every group or every nationality, they come up with their own set of problems. Look at the Italian Americans. Some of them came up with good intentions. Some of them came up with gangsters. You know what I'm saying?
They brought them over.
You know,
they came over
And we did that, and we brought in the smugglers, with the Cubans and the Hispanics. Some came in good, and some came. So these things going to happen. That's the way society is. But we have to be wise. But now they done up in the knot, because people ain't looking for monetary gain. They looking for destruction. So now they take
you. This is all about a spiritual thing.
As a matter of fact, they never.
You know,
they never even said what they want. They just said, hey, they want to kill. You never hear no demand. They just kill people. You know, yeah, they demand his destruction. They never said we want to have this or that. We just want to kill somebody. So that takes a different mindset. You know what I'm saying?
What,
because they have different God values.
What God would want you to give your life for if basically other people really didn't understand where you, how you were worshiping in him and how you were spending your time around him. And whatever I did made you angry or mad because I didn't pick up your ways the way you wanted to worship your God. You know, it's just kind of wild, man. But if I'm telling you, rather you read the scriptures, it tells you everything was coming up. And basically, if you go by them, it's like a timetable. The timetables are getting closer and closer together. We don't know basically when, you know, Son of Man is coming back. But Reverend Lewis, he's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming back.
We don't know the day or the hour or the time, but we can see the signs. Jesus told us everything. He told us about all the earthquakes and the phantoms and the unrest among people, the ungodliness, this new law they done wrote in, man, the Charlie Sheens and all that. You know what I'm saying? All this going on, Reverend Lewis. And it's just, you know, like you got to be ready, man. You got to be ready.
Yeah,
you got to prepare the people on the street to understand this, too, that basically we fight against an enemy that was put here to destroy us to start from. That's his mission every day, to hinder you and cripple you and destroy families, to tear your family apart, to tear your mind up, you know? Put you on the street, have you living like a vagabond, make you not be able to take care of yourself, you know?
Yeah, not your family. So I know what you mean, though. It is. It's a terrible thing. And, you know, as you stated earlier about having God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but a sound mind, and as you were saying that we have to have faith and trust in God. You know, the enemy's trying to steal our trust and our faith in God, man. He's trying to let us be, he wants us to have our confidence in our surroundings, our castles, our walls, you know, and God,
that's one of the first laws.
That's one of
the first lies he told Adam and Eve at first. He told them a lie at first that you know ain't going to die. You're going to be happy. You can have anything you want. It ain't going to hurt. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can be as smart as he is. And it ain't going to hurt.
And he's still telling them lies. Dying, you can have 100 virgins or kill someone to make a difference. You know, you can't destroy no one life or society or history and make a difference in a positive way, man. The people talk about destroying monuments at the White House. They destroyed monuments overseas. They have no, you know, they have no concept of society. And, you know, that's not a new world order I want to be involved in.
Yeah.
You know, that's a doomsday cult.
When we were little kids, Reverend Lewis, I never knew. Now, I never figured we'd live this and see these times coming up today. You know, I used to hear a lot of things, man. Maybe this generation kind of right here is kind of chosen few. We were kind of like the baby boomers or whatever they call us. We were a special generation, you know, because we came right after a world war. You know, and these world wars, something happened during that period to the atmosphere when these scientists and stuff over there in Germany was making all kinds of experiments. And basically, I had read somewhere that said Hitler was something like a Satanist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you,
he was going out, he was making experiments, he was going out, he was making all. Now, that's one of the things he did, you know, when he conquered some of those countries over there, he went and found the spear that pierced Jesus' side. And he had the spirit I think he even had the straw. He had that too. Some kind of way he lost it though. But that was one of the first things he wanted to get. And why, we don't really know. But it was some kind of, you know, ceremony or some kind of, you know, ritual he was doing over there in order to get power from the man he deal with. You know who he deal with, don't you?
No.
Satan. Satan. Hitler was directly.
Yeah, I know he had a yeah,
that's
the only
one could
ever spirit.
Give him that much power to talk to people and make them distort people and have a whole country following him and all that, doing what he was doing. You know? So what I'm saying is that all these experiments and the rituals and all this has an effect later on, because some, most of these things that you do, they have to still come into account.
Yeah.
That's any kind of prophecy in the Bible or anything like that. It might take a year, it may take 10 years, it may 15 years, it may take 20 years. In fact, it took 400 years for Jesus to come back. But it was a prophecy that was stated, and it still came into account.
Yeah,
and what's happening with us, some things were spoken of our lives a long time ago. Basically, it's happening now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And basically,
that's so true. You know, yeah, you can look around and see, man, a lot of these things, you know, it was already had been spoken into it. But it also tells us be not troubled, you know.
Yeah.
And so we can't let these things overtake us. And so, you know, we just have to keep on going on in Jesus' name. Brother Daniel, we're getting ready to, we got 15 minutes left on the remainder of this program. Now, we're going to shift gears here for a few minutes. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. You know, every day is Thanksgiving to the life of the Christian.
Yeah, that's what I want to
ask
you, Lewis. Reverend Lewis, you know anybody that's giving away turkeys around? I know last year we kind of had a little deal with our Raul Street Ministry over there, and we went around in the South Dallas community, and we gave away a lot of turkeys to the doors and stuff like that. But I don't know what y'all going to do today, this year. What you going to do?
Oh, no, I'm not doing anything outside with the street ministry today. We are doing a lot of stuff in-house. Last weekend, we went over to the Cottrell House, and we had a Thanksgiving dinner there. And then today, we're going over to the Senior Citizen Facility in South Dallas, and we're going to have a Thanksgiving program for them today. And then
Are you giving away turkeys?
No, not yet. I may get a call from someone in a couple of days. You're in need of turkey, or you know someone that's in need of turkey?
I might know a couple of people. You know, like last week, we got stuck with a couple of them we couldn't give away. We kind of, didn't count the numbers up right. And basically, we didn't want to waste none, but, God willing, we still gave them away, But I don't want to be like that this year. Basically, we were trying to force a lot of people on them. I don't know whether they really needed them, but, God knows it,
God knows. And he'll put it on your heart and put it in there, in their sense that they're doing the right thing. And so, now I don't have anybody offhand because I hadn't thought about it. Now, I may get a call in a day or two, Monday and Tuesday, someone may come up with something. But
okay.
I hadn't heard nothing from Raul. I know this Thursday they're going to be feeding over at the Breath of Life Ministry outside. We're going to have a program over there Thursday from 10 until we finish. So it'll probably be from 10 to 4. So if you and your family have an opportunity, stick your head in the door. I'm going to be doing some other things. I may go for a little while and then do something else, and I may not even go at all. We've been pretty active. What about yourself? What are you planning on doing that week in ministry or just for your own personal satisfaction?
Well, basically, I'm just going to sit around the house, man, and try to, just be a good husband.
Hey, that's great.
I didn't tell you
today,
man, when God bless you. I didn't tell you. I'm going to let my testimony.
Tell us why,
Reed,
to be thankful,
brother.
It's that time of year.
The other day, me and my wife, we went out here, and, I've been riding, man, on this little clunk I got, man. something. You know, something told me, man, well, you better go and get rid of this car because it's going to die on you, man. And the wheel's going to fall off of it. And I was just thinking, I said, I hope it don't happen, man. And more time, I'll be driving, Reverend Lewis, my throat will be a big lump in my neck every time I get in that car with my family in the car riding, going from here over to where you live at. You know where I come from every day, don't you?
Yeah.
Every time you see me with that church, where my church? You saw me? You saw me, didn't you?
Brother Daniel?
Reverend Lewis?
Yes, I'm here.
You know how you would see me in the parking lot at my church over there and how I would get over there?
Yes.
But the trip getting over there was one bad trip because I didn't know, and I was praying to God that God wouldn't let anything happen to me or my family while I was in that car. Because I, you know, my A-frame and stuff was basically was getting ready to pop off.
Oh.
Yeah, man. On both sides. I think both sides, too. One side. I fixed one side and then put all the pressure on the other side. And it started costing me, you know, hundreds of dollars to fix, man. So basically I asked God, I said, God, do something for me, man. So basically what he did, real Lord, God sent me two cars.
Two cars.
Big Lord, Reverend Lewis, I got a new car, man. I got a new car, bro.
Congratulations.
I'm blessed. I might not be blessed when you see me got a pay, but God's making it everything. He opened up all the windows for me to be able to pay for it.
Yeah.
Somehow I'm on my job yesterday. This guy found 12 hours out of nowhere. Girl, you got 12 hours just sitting around. Where'd that come from? Don't believe God did it.
Yes, he did. Oh, man, that's awesome, bro.
You know, yeah. So, you know, basically what's going to happen now, you know, God don't want me to ride around and nothing to rag to Deacon Lewis. He put here everything best for you and enjoying life. God, now if a drug pusher or a dope pusher can ride around in a nice car, pretty cars, pretty clothes, why can't a man of God fix yourself up every now and then and then drive around in a nice automobile? Does that make sense?
Oh, man. That makes sense. Man, that's well put, man, because sometimes we're struggling and we don't have to be struggling per se. God, we make bad decisions, but God, he can reverse those things. You know, and as you were sharing that there, God reversed that for you. You know, you said, hey, I was doing this and doing that, and I didn't think I could, but now God, he made a way. He reversed that. He turned that situation around. And you know what? We need to hear that, Brother Daniel. We need to hear testimonies like that, man. Because that's what we're talking about,
job,
being free on
brother.
The inside. That's that freedom, man, that knowing that, hey, God can turn this thing around.
You know, you can attest to me, Deacon. You remember when I graduated from college, man, and then I thought all the world was open up to me, man. Then I went around for 3 years looking for a job. I couldn't find a job. And basically, I got down on my knees, and I prayed to God to send me some help, do something for me, help me, Lord. I can't do no more. So what he did, he opened up some avenues for me to find jobs. He opened up this place over here where I work at. He opened up his head so that I can, you know, be able to come to work every day. He made up the days of the week that I go there. I thought I had to go to work on Sunday, but I ain't going to do you like that. I'm going to take Sundays off so you can go to church on Sunday.
Man, that's all right. Because I remember you started out on Sundays, then. You worked a few Sundays.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden he came, they had a meeting, and they said, well, Mr. Darren, this is the last day you ever have to come here on Sunday. I said, well, thank the Lord.
Now, they still open on Sundays, right?
Who?
Your job. Are they still having people on
Sunday? Yeah, but it's like a volunteer. It's a volunteer thing. You
oh, man, that's great.
You want to come in or not. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, man. You know, see, because the guard
they got all
kinds
of laws now. You can't force people to do things that they don't really want to do.
Oh, really?
Either if it, something to do with just something they're religious preferences and stuff like that. You know, they're basically getting sued a lot from doing things to people that they used to do a long time ago. You know, the system can work for you, and the system can work against you in this thing.
Man, I'm so glad it's working for you and on your behalf and for all of that believe. Brother Dan, we're about ready to get out of here, man. We got five more minutes before we wind down this program. And you two just share with us. Yes, it is. You know, and this is a good program. You know, we had other people scheduled, but because of, we couldn't get on at our appropriate time, I gave them, opportunity to come on at a later date, and they said, okay, so we'll just bring them in later. But you know what? We needed a show like this.
Well, I got a couple of gifts enough for next week. What we got to do, we got to go through a lot of screening process. You know how we do it with the
I know. And we've been doing good. You've been doing a great job, so.
I got a couple of, artists. I got, a couple of gospel singers, and I got one guy that he's a son of a famous trumpet player, man. He's a third generation, and that's a real blessing, man. This guy died early in life. He didn't have a chance really to hit the pinnacle of his career. He died, but his genes, man, still carry through. His grandson, man. His name is Clifford Brown Jr. You ever heard of Clifford Brown?
Yeah, I heard of Clifford Brown.
Clifford Brown. He was a trumpet player, man. He was, back in 1950, man. He died back in 1955. He died, man. But whatever's for you, it's going to be for you. Like we was talking about, just a while ago, how, certain prophecies and certain things, and it might not go through you, but eventually it's going through your family line. Somebody in your family going to accomplish that wealth, that power, or whatever God promised for your name. It's your name. It's your family name. It's your name.
Yeah.
It's your name that's God's honor. And whatever you did in order for God to be noticed.
And that is so true. You know what? And you were saying that I was looking at the internet the other day, and it had Sly Stone. And they were saying that Sly lived here in Dallas at one time.
He lived in Dallas. Yeah. He lived in Denton. Then he moved to California.
And I didn't
know
that, man.
He got a big family up in Denton, man. His family's big in Denton. He's some kin to J. Newell Haynes. That's his cousin, man.
Oh, really?
Bishop Haynes, that's his cousin. They cousins, yeah. And the whole family of musicians, all of them got some kind of... Really, Sly was in church, too.
Yeah.
Sly was in church, and his whole family was in church, man. But Sly
I went and looked
got,
at his bio.
God's still on it. And what's happening, and the way we was talking, when God speaks something on your life, 20 years him living on the street, and God honors his heart. He knew what he did in the past, meaning before he got in trouble, he went astray. God still honors him and repaid him for all the things his people did to him. He got $5 million, man. I know some people say that might be a little small amount of money, but what can you do with $5 million?
Yeah, I could do a lot. For his royalties and all the music that he had put out, and how people that mess out of money.
They was cheating him out his money, man, like they do nowadays. They cheating him, the agents and stuff, they cheating him out his money, halfway paying them, giving them what they want to do. He was just happy to have a little hundred grand he put in his pocket, but the man was making billions of dollars off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, hey Rick, but we got to get out of here. I tell you what, we're going to talk about this next week, man, or whenever we have an opportunity. Cause we need to go over that, because I like your take on the musician and music, man. You got a lot of, you can offer to the show, a lot of history there. So I want you to share that with our listening audience. Hey, bro, we're getting ready to get out of here. Brother, close us out in the word of prayer, brother, because God want to hear from you too, man.
All right. Okay, Heavenly Father, today, and like never before, we need your word. We need a voice to hear a voice from you, a word from you today, Lord. We need you to teach and instruct and tell the people of our country which way to turn, which way way to go, which way to proceed in the next few years, oh, Jesus. Let this new election or whatever going to happen, let it be a building point in our society. Let it be destructive. Let it be constructive. We're asking for it to construct a new way of living for the people of America. And help the homeless, and help the hungry people, and help the people that are suffering every day. Jesus, help them. Help them find their way. Guide them. And like we said before, the spirit of fear, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Think of this working
not coming
against us. You're addressing those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So when the officers stop us and they know the right
man,
way to interact
Daniel,
with us,
you know, we got one of our
organizations like yours, man. Anything that I've done,
we're going to
say, hey, now somebody is watching us. Somebody we have to be accountable for. Thank you for letting these programs and the police officers and city officials be accountable to
the
people they serve.
Have a blessed day. Thank you, Brother Daniel, for being a co-host of the program.
It's wonderful.
Thank you for what you're doing. And we're looking forward to having you on the show again next week.
What you're doing.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Fantastic. I thank you for being a founder and a cheering face for.